Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Best Ever Channels is determined to be a viewer's new best bet for steady viewing this year. Co-Chief Executive Officer Jonathan Bravado joins me next. CES 2023 is underway in Las Vegas, and what new TV innovations are coming your way? We'll get some clues next hour from Chris Chinnock at Insight Media. Also ahead, TCL embraces AI, that's artificial intelligence, while Roku uses Rises, our classic trivia question, and what should ESPN and the NFL do about last Monday's contest? I'll have a comment. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Block Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, and other podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Thank you for joining us on this special 90-minute edition on a Thursday afternoon of the program all about TV's current and future. 49 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. And right off the bat, we are unfortunately have to let you know that someone we had hoped to be on the program today, the co-star of Anne Rice's Mayfair Wishes on AMC, that will premiere this Sunday night in a simulcast that includes AMC Plus, Sundance TV, IFC, and BBC America, the wonderful actress Annabeth Gish will not be with us today. We had expected to have her on at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 1:30 p.m. Pacific. We found out at about 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time that there was a last, and I do mean last and late schedule adjustment for her. She apologizes, AMC apologizes, and we are trying to get her on this program next week sometime, and we will keep you posted. So again, Annabeth Gish will not be with us today. And of course, you can catch the premiere of Anne Rice's Mayfair Witches this Sunday night on AMC and AMC Plus, with a special simulcast of this episode on IFC, BBC America, and Sundance TV. We have some aware of wonderful people for you over the next 90 minutes, and they will be with us, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. So be interactive with them. How do you do it? You pick up the phone, and you dial in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio. And we have our chat room business as well. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the program is on the air, as always, you can hook up with people by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Jonathan Rabato, the co-CEO of Best Ever Channels, joins us live from Santa Barbara, California, after these news notes. Smart TV set maker TCL is going all in with full deployment of artificial intelligence in its sets. At CES 2023 in Las Vegas, the company disclosed a multi-year partnership with Samba TV to come up with advanced AI feature development and deployments within TCL sets. The partnership will be conducted through a separate research and development AI venture. This project also will explore the origination of machine learning-powered functionality. Hours after trumpeting plans to make and sell smart TV sets this spring, Roku released preliminary 2022 results for its current group of smart TV wear, including sets using its operating system. More than 70 million people worldwide now have Roku accounts, compared to 60.1 million in December 2021. Roku's users watched 23.9 billion hours of content the last 3 months of 2022 and 87.4 billion hours for all of last year. Final 2022 results will be presented next month. Cirque du Soleil, the worldwide live entertainment spectacle, has a new TV home. As of March, various channels programmed and distributed by Cinedigm, including Dove Channel, Cineverse, and Docurama, will carry about 30 hours of Cirque du Soleil performances, documentaries, and other content. New series and other programs will be created by Soleil for Cinedigm Carriage in the months ahead. Now, quickies before our first guest. Unscripted tennis docuseries Breakpoint begins January 13th on Netflix. 5 episodes will be available then. 5 more will run this June. Octavia Spencer's Apple TV Plus drama Truth Be Free, January 20th. Discovery Plus and ID, that's Investigation Discovery, will simulcast miniseries Death by Fame starting January 23rd. 6 episodes in that miniseries. Nicole Kidman will co-star with Zoe Saldana in Lioness, one of several upcoming Paramount Plus series developed by Taylor Sheridan of Yellowstone fame, and more recently 1923. And Fremantle has elevated Christian Vesper to chief executive of Global Drama Projects. And that is news notes for today. Now joining me live from Santa Barbara, California, and everybody exclusive, the co-chief executive officer of Best Ever Channels, Jonathan Bravado. Jonathan, happy new year. Welcome to our program.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Jonathan, for those who don't know, and I believe a lot of our listeners don't know, what is Best Ever Channels? It's been around for quite a bit.
Yeah, Best Ever Channels is a TV studio of the modern era where we are creating original content. We are also distributing channels to the various platforms like the Rokus and the Tubis and Plutos of the world. And then we are also taking content that has already been created and putting it up in advertising video on demand and subscription video on demand.
So how many channels, Jonathan, has Best Ever created so far, and where are they running, on what platforms?
Yeah, we have two subscription channels that are both available on Amazon and the Amazon platforms, Amazon Fire, et cetera. We also have seven channels that are available in FAST networks, FAST standing for free ad-supported TV. And so, you know, you can get those on most platforms that are carrying FAST channels. And then we have hundreds of hours of AVOD content that stretch across, you know, anywhere you can get AVOD.
As we get into this year, Jonathan, when it comes to all of these new networks, ad-supported, also subscription, that are running on smart TV sets, smart TV devices, multi-channel bundles, there seem to be two trains of thought here. And it looks like Best Ever, from where I'm standing, is playing both sides of this fence. One is to do library content, let's say a channel devoted to The Walking Dead on AMC or a channel devoted to X program or Y program using their library of past episodes. And the other, which you're also dealing with, is to create original content. For example, you currently have a comedy channel that is mostly originals called Wiz, I believe. It's W-I-T-Z Comedy TV. Where do you stand on it? How is this going to play out, do you think, particularly this year, now that we're seeing this incredible rush of new services?
Yeah, I think I think that both areas of content have value, and I think that viewers want to watch both. And you're right, we have channels that do both. So we have, you know, some classic TV channels with, you know, shows that go back as far as Lucy or Bonanza and that kind of thing, and people are still watching them a lot, both in subscription and free. But then we think the future, that FAST 2.0, if you will, is all about also creating a brand for yourself with new and original content. So you're right. We have a comedy channel called Wits, which we are creating in conjunction with The Stand in New York. That's the largest comedy venue, but they also represent a lot of, you know, major comedy talent. They have partnerships with Pete Davidson, T.J. Miller, and Dave Chappelle, et cetera. So, you know, we think in comedy, but also in general on FAST, people are going to want to see new content. They're going to want to see stuff that they can't find anywhere else. And so we have Wits, and we also have a channel, a music channel called Spin, which is being created in conjunction with Spin Magazine. So that will also have original content on it.
Talk about Spin, because that's one of the most iconic magazine brands around. How do you visualize what this network will look like, and when will it be starting?
Those are great questions. So Spin, you know, look, at in the 80s, or when MTV came out, it was mostly music videos, and now you can't even, you know, see music videos on MTV or anywhere else other than, you know, some of the Vivo channels, but then you're basically watching radio. Spin, on the other hand, as you've said, is an iconic music brand, has been for decades, and people look to Spin to basically curate the music for them, right? So you have fans from all different genres of music, but they're looking at Spin and the editors of Spin to curate that for them. And that's what we expect this channel to be as well. So we'll have a number of music videos in all different genres, but they'll be curated. And then we'll also have rock docs and content, you know, library content, to your point, that's been out there, but that, you know, really touches an audience and that the audience that loves them can't necessarily find elsewhere. And then we'll also have original content that will be, you know, everything from live concerts and events. There'll be the Spin Music Awards in 2023. But then also we'll have, you know, Spin does a cover story, a video cover story every month. So we'll have, you know, various different curated original specials as well. And we're debuting South by Southwest in March. Yeah, South by Southwest in March. and we expect it to be launching on all the major platforms. You know, everyone from the Freevee to Roku to the CTVs. I mean, we expect everyone to be launching it.
Is South by Southwest going to provide it, because they are a music festival as well as a TV, a film, and a technology festival? Are they going to be providing any programming to you, from the get-go?
Well, last year we produced an original show for WITS, so, it crosses over a couple of our channels, comedy and music. And this year, and most years, Spin Magazine throws, the largest party, music party, that South by Southwest has. And so we're going to be doing that this year as well. Only we'll be doing a countdown and launching the network at the same time.
You're hearing Jonathan Barbato. He is the co-chief executive officer of Best Ever Channels, as putting together a group of performing services you can find on smart TV sets, smart device, and multi-channel bundles. He joins us live from Santa Barbara, California this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. We're happy to have you along on this Thursday afternoon as well. 49 degrees at the top of the hour. Sometimes I'm with you live from New York. If a question comes for Jonathan, ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we got a great hour in store for you. The executive producer and showrunner of Netflix's hit Vikings Valhalla, Jeff Stewart, will be joining us as our lead guest. And we'll also check out another company like Best Ever Channels that is also creating channels, new originals for smart TV sets and smart devices. The company is called Obsession Media. You'll meet the founder, chief executive officer, Nick Rhodes, and you'll find out about their current service called Outdoor America and the service they're going to be doing, which will be live motorsports, 400 events a year, 1,000 hours of content called Super Speed 1, and that's just for starters. That's all coming your way on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. You have not one, but two original networks that are devoted to the subject of personal empowerment. Talk about those two.
Thank you. Yeah, we do. We have More You, which is an original channel we've created from scratch, and then also Commune, which is a channel that we've launched in conjunction with One Commune, and basically that's the folks, the CEO from Wonderlust, and that have been working in the personal development space for quite some time. More You is a general personal development channel. We've got yoga on there. We've got, the law of attraction leaders like Dr. Joe Dispenza or Bob Proctor or Lisa Nichols, basically talking to people about how to improve their lives and what they can do in their own personal development. And then we also have movies, cause-based films, documentaries, a bunch of different content that touches health, wealth, and wisdom, all in the various forms. Whereas Commune is more of a sort of masterclass channel, and multi-episode series, working with people like Deepak Chopra. Deepak and Oprah have a meditation series, and basically Brian Burchard. I mean, a lot of the names in the self-development industry, basically leading you in a master class on specific subjects that have to do with health, wealth, and wisdom. We have a third one as well, which is the Cinema Libre channel. Cinema Libre is the largest producer of cause-based documentaries and films. And the reason we launched their channel, not only because they're, they have so many films and they are a leader, but also because, personally, I want to watch TV. I want to watch a documentary or something that's cause-based and feel good by the end of it, and feel like there's, there's hope and there's something I can do, and that's what we think the Cinema Libre channel does.
Mm-hmm. And you also have a channel that, until I saw your website, I did not know was in existence, but you are doing a channel that is targeting African-Americans.
Yes, we are. It's called The Grid, and, we have launched that channel in conjunction with the creator of the channel, Carl Johnson, and he's been producing African-American and inclusive skewing content for years and years now for the industry. And so we created a channel with him and for him called The Grid. We get a lot of viewership for that. We have some great things planned up for Black History Month in February.
Mm-hmm. And before we go further, because I have a couple, a question or two more about The Grid, we should point out this is separate from The Grio, Byron Allen's venture, which is both a single channel, it's also a multi-channel bundle of content. largely in African Americans and other communities of color. What kind of content is on the grid? Is it scripted? Is it unscripted? Is it a mix? How would you describe the content?
Scripted series, more classic scripted series, but there's some films, a lot of music videos, and some original content that has been created, whether it's a series or sort of mini series format. And you haven't mentioned yet, I don't know if you're aware, but we also have a couple of other channels. We have one called Trailers from Hell, which is basically film directors, film producers, talent, people that you would recognize and love, for the films that they've made, all talking over the trailers for the films that are in their favorite library list. And that channel gets quite a bit of viewership as well. We have another channel called Action, which has a lot of very classic action series from the 80s and 90s, as well as some modern stuff. Right now, one of our most popular series on that channel is running. I think it's most popular because it's a playoff of Top Gun. And it's called Pensacola Wings of Gold. It went for 3 seasons, so there's 66 episodes. And people are discovering it on the FAST channel and then binging on it in AVOD. So those are some other popular content channels that we have.
And that was a syndicated series back, I believe, in the 80s and 90s, starred James Brolin, at least at the beginning.
Exactly.
And I remember it was on WWOR Channel 9 here in New York for most of its run. Your services are ad-supported. How are you doing with advertising? Are you finding certain product categories or certain advertisers are more into what you're doing than others?
Well, so for the newer channels, for the original channels, the comedy and the music, Spin, Wits, we are finding that there are advertisers that are quite interested in sort of owning owning a sponsorship of either the channel itself or programming on the channel. And so we are doing some direct sales efforts in those directions. With the other channels, we partner with the platforms, and we find that to be, quite successful for us. So in my past, I launched 3 on-demand networks in all cable households when on-demand first went free in the mid-2000s. And the networks were quite popular. We were in the top 10 with one of them in particular called Ripe TV. But what happened is we would go to the advertising agencies and advertisers, and they'd be very interested in reaching the demographic, but, we would have 1 million, maybe 2 million viewers per month, and they were looking for 100 million, 200 million. So we would find sales to be, slow and sometimes difficult. In this case, with the FAST channels, even if we're in the same range of viewership, we find that the platforms are selling the 100 million, 200 million views. We're just part of that. And so it makes ad sales a whole lot easier for us. And we find that we have a lot of major advertising within our programming that is being sold by the platforms carrying us that maybe we wouldn't even be able to sell ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Are there any plans to do a presentation at the Digital Content New Fronts later this spring?
Yeah, we are a member of OTTX, and we think that Spin and Wits have some things to offer that nobody else does, and that the viewership will be of interest to everyone. So we're already in some preliminary talks with some major advertisers, and we have some plans to be at the New Fronts.
In a moment, we'll talk to Jonathan Barbato about what else is in the original FAST channel pipeline for 2023 and beyond. And we'll also get his thoughts about interactive television, whether interactive elements will pop up at some point based on what is going on right now with smart TV sets and smart devices, especially with the news coming out this week at CES 2023 in Las Vegas. John Barbato is the co-chief executive officer of Best Ever Channels. They're based in Los Angeles. He's with us today from Santa Barbara, California. And I'm here, Simon Applebaum, with you live from Nueva York this Thursday afternoon on Tomorrow Be Televised. 49 degrees at the top of the hour here in Nueva York. If you have a question or comment for John in our meeting minutes with him this half hour, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. And next Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, We have another Media Village technology column. Now, the Media Village columnist, I should say, with me. He covered technology on this program before. That's Jeff Minsky. He is at CES right now, and we'll talk to him about his observations about what's going on there in Vegas. That's next Friday. Jeff Minsky from Media Village, the place I also write columns for as well. That's next Friday, 3:10 Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And maybe we may have Annabeth Gish also. There's also a possibility we may do a special episode next Thursday, 1 week from today. We will keep you posted through Facebook and Twitter. Jonathan, what else is in the original channel pipeline for your company?
Well, we have some things I can't talk about under NDA, but I will say that, you know, what we're targeting are content niches that they're basically being underserved from a curation standpoint. So music isn't a niche unto itself, but the niches within music are, and that's why Spin Magazine was born. Our whole approach is to basically, you know, engage and involve the audience in the channel, which kind of touches on your other question about interactivity, CES, how are things going to change for TV. You know, from my perspective, I've been doing marketing for over 25 years in traditional broadcasts and then cable, now with new media and OTT. From my perspective, I think that the audience has always wanted more from their television experience than just, you know, a sit-back viewing experience, but it hasn't been technologically possible. And, you know, I don't know that some of the things that have been tried are that interesting. You know, I want to buy the shirt that, you know, Christian Slater's wearing here. Let me click on that. You know, maybe I do, maybe I don't. But I do think that people want to see statistics. They want to see cross-references. You know, if you're watching a movie on Action and one of the actors looks a little familiar, but you want to see what else he was in, you should be able to click somewhere onto the screen and get that information. If you want to interact with other people watching the series and, you know, comment on what's happening or a riff or joke or whatever, you should be able to do that. You know, there's a lot of activity that is technologically possible but not yet normal for a TV audience to partake in. We at Best Ever Channels are creating some apps to allow for that, companion apps. So you'll be able to download an app and interact with what you're watching on the television screen. But I think that within a year or two, and I'm talking to some of the people that are behind this technology, some of those functionalities, you know, live chat during a program or other interactivity will actually be available through the television set itself. You know, the developers are just trying to figure out how to do that with, you know, without a keyboard and with the technology at hand. So I'm excited because I think, you know, for our channels, that'll be a big initiative. Take the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom channels. Jack Canfield, you know, might be on World's Greatest Motivators as a program we have with him, telling you how to basically follow your dreams and double your income and things like that. Well, Jack is interested in live chatting with people that are watching the program, and we can set that up through some of this technology. And wouldn't that be great that, you know, you're not only getting information and entertainment from him on the screen, but you can actually live chat, interact, maybe find out what, you know, next event is next month or what he's up to now, that sort of thing. So that's where I see things going in the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, yesterday we had, and we'll be talking with Chris Janock about this next hour, many of the smart TV set makers had showcase events for the press at CES in Las Vegas yesterday. LG did, which has been doing some fitness channel work. So did Samsung, which apparently now has a new interactive fitness service called Smart Trainer, which is running on their smart TV sets. In the last year, we've had Peloton, Beachbody, Apple with Apple Fitness Plus get on the TV set as well. You don't necessarily have to have a bike or exercise equipment to do it. So one would think that that might be a strong possibility for your personal empowerment services.
Absolutely. And, you know, smart TVs are becoming, I think, a lot more functional like smartphones. And so it's not just that the interactivity is there, it's that the functionality that follows through with what you may be motivated by the programming to do is there. Like fitness. I mean, that's an easy one, right? Or, you know, it might be wisdom, you know, or wealth. How do I build wealth through real estate? Here's Ray Higdon on the television right now talking about doing exactly that. Well, Ray, you know, I live in California. What can I do? You know, some of these things are may or may not be available to me. It's interactivity that, you know, plays off the programming, not just the obvious stuff, but I think some of the less obvious stuff as well.
Mm-hmm. Some of your channels, you mentioned earlier, you have co-partnered with independent producers. Are some of those producers coming to you with formats or coming at with channel ideas that are worth considering? What kind of activity are you getting on that front?
Yeah, we are talking to a number of different producers as well as library owners. The wonderful news of TV today is that you can you know, basically bypass the old cable satellite gatekeeper from the standpoint of, you know, there is any, if you have the technology, the know-how, and the connection in, then you can launch a channel that you know, reaches a specific niche, has a particular branding to it. The problem is that producer, and I produce fantastic movies or TV series, I may not necessarily want to learn or hire or deploy the technology to do, you know, the operational side of all of that. So those are the people that are coming to us and saying, hey, you know we can create a great show. We know we even, you know, through social media and otherwise have an audience that's interested in that show. We want to go beyond YouTube. And we see that you're doing that. Can you partner with us? Can you do the operations? Can you maybe help us accent some of the content that we have with content that's out there in libraries elsewhere? And then, you know, we'll do the rest. And so those are the kind of relationships that we're having conversations about. And it really boils down to what we think the audience is interested in and if the partner is bringing the audience as well as the programming. You know, do they know who they're reaching, and do they have a line into them? Because that's half the battle. If we can bring the audience and the programming, you know, to the audience through these devices, then, you know, then we can get a bigger viewership and a bigger revenue through advertising, you know, faster.
Mm-hmm. Before you go, did I read correctly on your website, Jonathan, that Joe Dante, the director of Gremlins and other popular genre pictures, came to you with the idea of Trailers from Hell?
Absolutely. I mean, that is probably one of the best examples of what we were just talking about. Joe Dante, through his people, yeah, was very interested in taking Trailers from Hell beyond, you know, just the YouTube distribution that it had. He knew that it was popular. He knew there was a niche audience for it. You know, didn't necessarily want to develop an entire operational structure to support launching as a fast channel or within the OTT universe. And so came to us and, you know, frankly, we saw his vision. We knew that he would be interactive with us in terms of not just getting the content that it already exists up, but an ongoing stream. You know, we're talking to him now about some promotional things we can do together, some live broadcasts, you know, live, so not just day and date to you when you tune in, but also, you know, debuting for the first time ever, that sort of stuff. So, yeah, love him, love the channel, and have been nothing but pleased with the results so far.
Do you see an expanded relationship with him where he can supply original scripted or unscripted programming in addition to his involvement with that channel?
Yep, we are in conversations about that very thing. We're in conversations about how to, you know, create short form programming that can be turned into long form programming, and take some of the long form programming that he has and you know, put it into formats that will work in streaming. So yeah, you know, this new version of television, this streaming media application, is a great way for producers who have the vision, like Joe Dante, to sort of see ahead. You know, what can we do? For example, how can he interact with an audience talking about the programming that he helped to create, and maybe even about programming that's to come? and get them involved. So great things coming.
You can catch any or all of Best Ever Channel's array of original programming services on smart TV sets, smart devices, and multi-channel bundles, including the comedy service WITZ Comedy TV and the upcoming service based on the iconic Spin magazine. They'll be coming out later this winter or early spring. For more details about the venture online, here's where you go, www.besteverchannels.com. That's www.besteverchannels.com. Jonathan Roboto, joining us live from Santa Barbara, California. Thank you for being with us. Happy New Year to you and your crew. Congratulations on what you've accomplished so far, and I have a hunch that before the end of the year, we'll be back with you soon to see how things have turned out and where you'll be going in 2024.
Well, happy New Year to you, Simon. I look forward to it. Honored and up.
Same here, Jonathan. Take care. Enjoy the rest of the week and have a super weekend.
All right. You too.
Jonathan Roboto from Best Ever Channels joining us live from Santa Barbara, California. We come back, our classic trivia question of the week. And now, and also, we'll have a comment or two. One in particular, what should ESPN and the National Football League do about rescheduling last Monday's contest? And the latest on DeMar Hamlin's condition. It's all coming up after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, Spreaker.com, and TuneIn.com, together reaching over 75 English around the world every month and growing. Star Trek Prodigy, that's the hit animated series on Nickelodeon and Paramount Plus. That's the subject of tonight's episode of Tech Talking. That's Tech Talking about Star Trek Prodigy. That's today at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 p.m. Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, that's VTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to more of Tomorrow Be Televised, our second episode of the year, our second episode this week, the week of CES 2024 in Las Vegas, going on as we speak. Simon, I'm with you live from New York. I'd like to hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up, you pose the question, what should ESPN and the National Football League do about last night's Monday Night Football contest that, of course, was marred by the cardiac arrest of defensive back for the Buffalo Bills, DeMar Hamlin. We'll give you the latest on his condition as well. There are some new developments or two. But right now, time for our classic trivia question of the week, our first one of the year. We're looking for our second weekly winner in a row, and we posed the question on our first episode Tuesday. So here it is again, and if you're first with a great answer, we have two great prizes for you. Speaking of smart TV set people, we have a Vizio-provided notepad with Moleskine, and I think we'll really enjoy it. And we also have one of the great, now that's what I call music CDs, number 46, with super tunes by Bruno Mars, Justin Timberlake, Ariana Grande, Pitbull, Christina Aguilera, Taylor Swift, Pink, Fall Out Boy, Emma Sande, Nelly, Ludacris, and Keisha and more. And they can both be yours if you know the answer to this question. Name Marissa Hargitay's first television series that was running on CBS in 1986. Name Mariska Hargitay's first television series that ran on CBS in 1986 and repeated the following year. If you know the answer, email me, SimonApple04 at Yahoo.com. That's SimonApple04 at Yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. If you're first with the correct answer, you win both prizes. And if we don't get a winner by the end of today, we will post the question tomorrow on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum or Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. Looking for our second weekly winner in a row, our first one of 2023, and that person can be you. One more time, here is the question. Name Mariska Hargitay's first television series that ran on CBS in 1986 and then repeated the following. You know the answer? Email me, SimonApple04 at Yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name and your mailing address. If you are a previous winner or you've been a guest on this program, you are not eligible. Let someone else get their shot. So in order to win, go ahead and play in today and all the very best. And now, a special comment. By now, so many millions of people have seen the incident on Monday Night Football between the Buffalo Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals, where Bills defensive back DeMar Hamlin, after making a tackle, and he was on top of the player, the Bengals player, not at the bottom, the top, got up and then went into cardiac arrest. Of course, it provoked the game to be stopped about 6-7 minutes into the first quarter. The score at the time was the Bills 7, Bengals 3. CPR had to be applied. Ambulance came, took Hamlin to the University of Cincinnati Medical Center, where he is still there at this hour. The latest word is that he is still in recovery. He is making progress. Condition still critical. And a lot of people are praying very much for his full and complete recovery, and it's looking better and better that that result may happen. Yesterday, I was on Sports Newswire. That is the daily sports news information program on Sports Grid Network, available on smart TV sets, device, and multi-channel bundles. And I talked about watching that incident in real time, live, as it was happening, and how ESPN handled the situation. And that has been a subject of social media ever since Monday night. Two things, actually two people, came to mind as I was watching the situation unfold. One was Hank Gathers, the promising college basketball player at Loyola Marymount University, who, during a basketball game, collapsed on the floor and died. It was even more shocking to see because the camera was pointed at him in sort of medium close-up, when after he made a shot, he was, I guess, getting ready to go back on defense, he just collapsed. Camera didn't lie, as it turned out. And it was, like the situation with Hamlin, a very shocking situation. And it was one that I was able to find out about because it was covered by ESPN thoroughly. It led off their 11 p.m. sports. It was on a Sunday night and led off their 11 p.m. sports end at the time. And the second person I thought about was Jim McKay. Jim McKay, for those who don't know, was one of the first great sportscasters and sports hosts. He was, for many years, the host of ABC's Wide World of Sports, the groundbreaking anthology program. And in 1972, McKay, who had a background in journalism, had that journalism background come full blast when, on a crazy day in Munich, Germany, during the 1972 Summer Olympic Games, the Israeli Olympic team was held hostage and then was moved to an airplane and were killed by terrorists when a rescue mission was attempted to save them. It was Jim McKay who spent hours documenting the situation, getting the facts straight, not trying to play hindsight quarterback what was going on or who was responsible, but just to deliver the facts and to keep us all informed in the best possible way. And when it turned out that things had not gone as well as initially reported, it was Jim McKay who had to break the news about the death of those athletes. He summed it up in three words. They're all gone. His face was ashen. And it was a very difficult moment for him and everybody at ABC Sports that night. I saw that situation, again, unfolding during the 1972 Summer Olympic Games. Last Monday night, you might say it was the Jim McKay moment for everyone who was documenting the situation as it happened. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman at the stadium, Susie Colbert, Booger McFarlane, Adam Schefter in the New York studios, and Scott Van Pelt from Washington, D.C., who did SportsCenter with Ryan Clark, ESPN football analyst, and others. I thought that, for the most part, they handled the situation that night well. They didn't play hindsight quarterbacking. They weren't playing doctors, trying to speculate why cardiac arrest happened, what was behind the condition, and so on and so forth. And I know that when I was watching Susie Colbert with Adam Schefter and Booger McFarlane, that you could cut the tension in that studio easily. Everybody was either trying to get words out or basically wanting to shut up beyond just saying, this game has to be stopped. These players cannot play football. It was a very, very difficult time. And I thought that Susie handled well. I thought Lisa Salters handled well on the sidelines when questioned by Scott Van Pelt. I think ESPN, under the circumstances, did a salutary job. And I know that since then, there has been a lot of social media comment, pro and con, about what ESPN did say, what they didn't say, what their attitude was, and so on and so forth. And I would suggest that anybody making the criticism, just keep in mind, this was unfolding in real time. Yes, there were some things I wish ESPN did do. I wish they had gone to Scott Van Pelt's Sports Center earlier rather than go back and forth between the New York studio with Colbert McFarlane and Schefter and fucking Aikman. I get that. Fair point. And I get also that Ryan Clark, in dealing with the situation, may have tried to put on the, well, football was responsible for this, as opposed to, like, let's see if we get official information that Hamlin had a pre-existing condition. Remember, it was not a case of he hitting the artificial or whatever the turf was. He was on top of the player when he made the tackle, the Bengals player. So I know it is very easy to chime in and say, oh, they did this right, they did this wrong, and so forth. The point is, they handled the scene as best they could that night, given their resources and given what they had to deal with and the fear of the unknown. And I also want to give kudos to ESPN for something else, that they had all of those shots of those players crying, having to deal with this situation, and then everybody getting together in prayer, both teams, the Bengals and the Bills. And the fact also that they showcased that they had players from both teams at that medical center after Hamlin was transported there. And they also, I'm delighted that they also reported, as well as with other organizations, about the GoFundMe page that Hamlin set up for this toy drive. And the fact that as of this morning, over $7 million has been raised. We're going into Monday night, going into the game. It was 3,000. So I think that everybody, for the most part, has tried to be as restrained as possible, not playing doctor, not playing quarterback, not, oh, should we cover this better, worse, or whatever, but being on the side of caution and not blaming, oh, this is on football, oh, you know, it's a violent sport, and so on and so forth. We all know football is a violent sport. Heck, in the early 1960s, the 20th century, the wonderful CBS documentary series narrated by Walter Cronkite, one of its best episodes was a special called The Violent World of Sam Hupp about the famous New York Giants defensive player and his world. And it is a violent world. And by the way, this is not the first time that a player has died in the course of playing a game in football, as has been mentioned. Back in the early 1970s, there was a player who died on the field or walking from the field because not because of a hit, not because of a tackle, because of blood clots that nobody knew about until the incident happened. So I think the restraint by everybody is really commendable. And I hope it continues until Hamlin condition is better known, and the doctors themselves let us know what's going on. Now, the big question right now to me and everybody is, when, if any time, should ESPN and the NFL reset or reschedule this game for Monday night, and not just when, but how? What should ESPN and the NFL do about it? Obviously, the games that are going on this Saturday and Sunday, this weekend, the final weekend of the regular season, will go on. And yes, as far as I know, as far as we know, the Buffalo Bills will play against the New England Patriots, and Cincinnati will play their game. Now, does the NFL have an option? I think they do. The option is to move the wild card weekend back by a weekend, by a week. Next weekend, play that game with the Bills and the Bengals. Personally, I'd like to see them start it from the top. not from 6-7 minutes in with a 7-3 score. And if they do reset the game, ESPN should cover the game with ABC as a simulcast. Now, how can they do that? Very simple. Remember the bye week. There's usually been a bye week between the conference championship games in the NFL and the Super Bowl. And incidentally, cutting out that bye week has been done before in other instances. And when it has, the Super Bowl has been better and the viewership has been better. So it can be done. I hope it will be considered. I think that would be the most humane thing to do. You got to remember that this Bills-Bengals game is a big factor in terms of who is seated at the top of the American Football Conference, the AFC. And you do want to give both teams the opportunity to finish the season and not have a game, you know, be down by a game. And that absent game determines who gets the seeds. Now, I've heard that one of the obstacles to the postponement is that the bye week usually has the Senior Bowl, where you have all the scouts examine the college football seniors from around the country with the college football season over this coming Monday night. I think you could do it. I think you could work that out with the Senior Bowl people so that the two or four teams that might have to, you know, change their schedule can check out that game in some manner, if not in person, beam it up to their sites or their websites, stream it, as they say, and have them check out have their scouts check out who should maybe be on their team this season, this fall. I really do hope that it doesn't come down to the Bills and the Bengals being one game short in the regular season and having that impact how they start the postseason. One thing is very clear. This game has to continue. Life goes on. And I have to say, the way the Buffalo Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals and their coaches and their management have handled this has been fantastic. And they haven't given in to the crazy social media or the crazy commentators who are like figuring this way and that way. And I hope that continues for the rest of this season and the postseason. Obviously, there's still a lot to work out, and it can be worked out. So if there's a point I want to leave you with, it is this. This can be worked out. And I hope it gets worked out to the advantage, not disadvantage, of either or both teams, the Buffalo Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals. And again, I really hope that whatever chatter is there about, oh my God, we should ban football as a sport because it's so violent, can we cool it? Can we hold off on that? I know boxing is already dealing with this, but can we cool off on this until we know exactly what transpired Damar Hamlin's cardiac arrest? We might just be surprised. And, of course, I'd like to hear what you think. If you'd like to give us a call, do so now, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. That's 646-652-2906, or go into the chat room, SimonApple04. You'll find that at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And before the top of the hour, we will be joined by Chris Kinnock. He is the founder and key analyst of Insight Media. We've had him on the program before. He is following what's going on, as yours truly is, at CES 2023 in Las Vegas. Yesterday, the Media Day presentations happened. We've already had a little bit of news earlier today, more coming up. And, of course, CES continues into the weekend, this Saturday and Sunday, from Las Vegas. And, by the way, if you want more details about the event, you go to ces.tech. That's ces.tech, and check out what's going on. And you can also go to the various exhibitors, websites of the various exhibitors, including all the TV, smart TV set makers that are doing their thing. I have to say, since we have a couple. By the way, before we go, for those of you that came in late on the program, again, we want to let you know that, unfortunately, the person we were hoping to have as our final guest at 4:30 Eastern Time, 1:30 Pacific, the wonderful actress Annabeth Gish, who is now the co-star of Anne Rice's Mayfair Witches, premieres this Sunday night on AMC and AMC Plus, also being simulcast this first opening episode on Sundance TV, BBC America, and IFC, will not be with us today. Sadly, we learned around 9:30 this morning that there was a glitch in her schedule. She had to make an adjustment. She apologizes profusely for not being able to be on today. We are rescheduling her, hopefully, for either next Friday, or we may do a special episode on Thursday, 1 week from today. We'll keep you posted on our Facebook and Twitter page, so do check that out and see what happens. I have to say one thing, since we have a moment, about TES 2023, and I hope to ask Chris about this. I caught quite a few of the Media Day presentations, in particular LG and Samsung. And it is very, very clear that LG more than Samsung buried the lead of what they're up to with their smart television sets. LG more than Samsung. Samsung was better. LG, not so great. And I think that what we have to do with CES is to encourage the smart TV set makers the following. When they make a presentation, when their executives leave the stage, and let me be very clear, these are presentations. They are not press conferences. The press doesn't get a chance to ask the people on the stage questions before they go off. What should happen, and I hope that the Consumer Technology Association will take this into account, is immediately after or the next day at the latest, that each of these exhibitors, each of these presenters, presenting companies, do a half-hour to 45-minute press conference where they are held to account about what they talk about. I promise you that I'm looking forward to hearing what Chris has to say about LG, because what LG did, I thought in particular, really buried the lead about what they're doing. They have some very exciting things they're doing with their smart TV sets, including something that was totally out of the blue, did not know about until they said it in a half a sentence. And it deserved to have a press conference in part about it. Incidentally, something else too. It is really amazing that a lot of the developments that were announced yesterday by Samsung, by LG, by TCL, we talked to you about the in our news notes about their new artificial intelligence research and development venture with Samba TV to create new advanced artificial intelligence and machine learning driven applications for future smart TV sets and devices, that they did not come out with a press release specifically about those situations. TCL didn't, Samsung didn't, LG didn't. Some of the other set makers didn't either. And you have to wonder why. You really do. Last year, LG announced a project called Home Hub. They did it in one sentence. They called it a personal digital or video assistant. And that's all they did. They just said that one sentence and that's it. And as of today, I've searched Google, I've searched Yahoo. They still have not released a press release about Home Hub. And yet there they were yesterday morning, and sure enough, they mentioned Home Hub. And again, sure enough, they didn't say a darn word about it. It was actually on one of the screens behind the presenters. Not one major sentence or paragraph about Home Hub. I still don't know what it is. And we'll have to see what happens. All right. Well, in a few minutes, we're going to be joined by someone else who has been monitoring the situation at CES. That's Chris Chinnock. We've had him on the phone before. He's the founder and the main analyst at Insight Media. He'll be joining us live shortly. Looking forward to hearing what he has to say about CES 2023 and what the main TV developments were. And believe me, there were some big TV developments that took place yesterday. And we'll see if any new ones have shaped up this morning and afternoon. And we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. 652-2906. Number is good anyway. Or catch us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. And don't forget, you can check us out in our chat room at SimonApple04, and you can catch it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. I want to let you know, for those of you that are tuning us in for the first time, we're usually on Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and TuneIn Radio. I may be going in tomorrow for a special procedure. I've been dealing with a personal health issue for about 3 months, and hopefully tomorrow we will finally get it handled. And everything willing, it will. So we'll see. We'll let you know on Monday what the situation is either way. And speaking of Monday, coming your way on our program, that's our next episode, we'll have as our lead guest, the executive producer and showrunner of Vikings Valhalla, going to a second season later this month on Netflix, Jeb Stuart. And we'll have the founder and chief executive officer of Obsession Media. It's another, like Best Ever Channels, it's creating new programming services available on smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles. They have one such service on the air called Outdoor America. They have another one coming in the world of motorsports called Super Speed One. Nick Rose is that founder and CEO, and he will be with us then. So that's on Monday. And coming your way on Friday, we'll wrap up CES 2023 with somebody who's had on the show before. He is a technology columnist for Media Village, Jeff Minsky. So that's next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And now joining us live, the founder and key analyst at Insight Media. We haven't had him in a long time. It's great to have him back, Chris Chinnock. Chris, welcome in, and Happy New Year to you.
Well, Happy New Year to you too, Simon. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. And where are you calling from? What city?
This is Las Vegas, CES 2023, baby.
All right. So you're at CES. We're in the first full day. We had the Media Day presentation yesterday. What's your early thoughts about the key TV developments, particularly with smart TV sets?
Well, I would say there's been maybe no revolutionary announcements here. I think it's mostly evolutionary announcements. But I think advancements on a whole number of different fronts, from TV performance to gaming features to content access, usability, health, lifestyle, across the board.
Was there any particular of the Media Day presentations yesterday, was there any one that really stood out for you in terms of, waha, this is a big development that we should all be keeping our eyes on and we're not?
Well, I guess there's a couple of things maybe. LG Display and their customers, LG Electronics and Panasonic, and I suspect Sony down the road, have what was they've increased the brightness of their OLED displays. And this was technology that was actually debuted last June at the SID Display show, so we kind of got a preview of what was happening. But the idea here is that you add a series of lenses over each pixel, which helps to collect the light and focus it more forward. And you get about a 30 or 40% boost in luminance doing it that way. So they're claiming that the TVs, in particular the LG Electronics G series TVs, can get to 2,000 nits of brightness. But you also have to say, in what size window or area, and that's a 3% window, so a 3% white patch on the screen.
We're going to take a quick break and welcome people joining us at the top of the hour, and we'll have more from Chris Chinnock from Inside Media. He is at CES 2023 right now in Las Vegas as we speak, and you can reach him by phone or chat room. So either give us a call at 646-652-2906 or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And we will be back again with Chris after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tune.com, together reaching over 75 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out the Hilltop Radio Show. Their latest episode is tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, that's BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our final 30 minutes of Tomorrow Be Televised on this Thursday afternoon, the 5th of January, 2023. Happy New Year to you, wherever you may be. Simon Applebaum with you at the top of the hour. We welcome those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. Here in New York, it is 48 degrees and cloudy at the top of the hour. And we've got live from CES 2023, the annual Consumer Electronics Showcase in Las Vegas, we have the founder and key analyst of Inside Media, Chris Chinnock. And if you have a question or comment for him, ring that phone at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. Or you can get into our chat room. It's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Chris, several of the Media Day presentations really struck me. Going in with Samsung, there was a sense that Samsung was going to go all in on turning their smart TV sets into hubs for smart homes or smart apartments, where you can, using the television set, maneuver other aspects of your home, your lights, your energy management, your how you use various appliances in the kitchen, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And would you say they did that with their press with their event last night?
Well, honestly, I missed the press conference, so I don't know exactly what was said. But from what I understand, they did make progress in that area. They've got, I think, a better interface now, so you can visualize all the devices that you want to add to your home network and configure them a little bit more easily. Have they gotten to that nirvana of making it easy? Maybe, maybe not. I guess time will tell on that.
Well, at the event, which I caught, it was at 5 o'clock Eastern time, 2 o'clock where you are. They, for example, talked about the fact that you can do now smart things, cooking, get recipes on your Samsung television set. You could do pet care on the TV. You could do a smart trainer, which is an interactive fitness center. You can do video chat in a feature called Chat Together, and have these special home links on Samsung TV sets. So you just got the sense that they are really getting into this. And they also seem to suggest, while not coming out and saying it, that they also want to make a very big deal with artificial intelligence, both audio and video, and make that a major aspect of the innards of that TV set going forward.
Yeah, so let's deal with the first part first. I think in general, Samsung and actually most of the TV brands kind of are trying to make that TV return it to the key hub of your home universe, right? And by adding all these features into it, and including now they have a webcam option that goes on the back of the TV, so you can do even telemedicine now, and you can check your vital signs, I've been told. Health, fitness, all kinds of these activities that you just mentioned, trying to return it back to that portal into your life, your household, the world, et cetera. So, yeah, I think that's a pretty clear trend with a lot of brands. But go ahead if you have something.
By the way, that was one of the things that was anticipated, that we're going to say something about Samsung was going to say something about telehealth, and they didn't. That was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah. No, that again, this seems to be a clear trend to try and add all these kind of peripheral things to your TV. They have a bunch of accessories they're adding to it. They've got these lifestyle TVs with the matte screen and the Cero and the Serif. So the sound bars that integrate this, so really expanding beyond just a product line of TVs, it's becoming, a lifestyle. This is clearly a trend here.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to LG. Did you have a chance to see their presentation yesterday morning?
I did not.
It seemed to me that LG buried the lead. The lead, it seemed to me, from LG was, we are going to go whole hog on interactive services. And one of those interactive services is a metaverse TV platform that they're working with an independent company called Sansar, S-A-N-S-A-R. I looked it up, Google. I Googled it. That is a company to do metaverse TV. And that is the first time that anybody in this whole conversation about the metaverse said, hey, TV can be a place to do the metaverse. along with smartphones, along with virtual reality, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They also announced a major home security partnership with ADT, which has an emergency call feature. And it just seemed that when they announced these projects, they just went maybe like one sentence and that's it. They also once again brought up this idea called Home Hub, which they actually introduced last year at their CES presentation, which is a personal video assistant. And they just like, it's like Velcro. They just stuck it on without saying much about it. And yesterday they did it again. They had Home Hub, but this time it was on a screen behind one of the presenters. And yet they still didn't talk about what Home Hub is, how it works on the television set, and they have still never come out with a press release about Home Hub. And it just makes you wonder, what the heck is LG thinking about? What the heck is their PR people, their marketing people, about talking about this? They seem to like, it was like a Velcro type of presentation, and they don't explain.
Well, knowing these Korean companies, I suspect that a lot of these decisions, these product feature decisions, have not been made yet. They kind of know they have some idea of where things are going to go, but there's no final decisions yet. So they kind of throw these things against the wall and kind of see what sticks.
And incidentally, I have not seen a press release from LG or ADT or Samsung about these projects that went out. And by the way, it was also the LG, they had Tom Ryan from Paramount Plus and Pluto TV saying, well, we're going to have 100 LG channels on our Pluto TV multi-channel bundle over the next few months. We're going to add them on, and we're going to do more. And again, it was like they had Tom Ryan come on for like one or two sentences, and that's it. It's just really, really crazy, and it makes you wonder, like, what is going on here?
And again, I think it's because the deal is not set. They have a handshake to do something, and that's probably it at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One other one that really hit me, again, it was another case of burying the lead, was Hisense, where Hisense at the very end says, oh, we're coming out with this new smart TV set that's Google TV as an operating system, which, by the way, apparently includes smart home functionality. What do you think about that announcement?
Well, yeah, I think that's Google TV is I think gaining traction among some of the TV brands for sure, and I'm not surprised because I don't think their operating system was particularly attractive. So doing something like that, I think, makes sense for them. So yeah, why not?
What kind of attitude is you're on the show floor? You're in Vegas. What is the attitude about people about where they see smart TV sets and smart TV devices going, especially now that we know that now we have like over 90% of or more of all U.S. households have these sets and devices. We know that that's how they're watching television. We know they're seeing now all sorts of services, make it from the mega contents like Netflix and Paramount Plus and HBO Max and so forth to new services from new players. These multi-channel bundles are allowing more capacity and so on and so forth. What's the sense you're getting about how CES attendees are seeing the TV world?
Yeah, I'm not sure I've got a good sense of how the attendees see the TV world. But, you know, kind of putting on my consumer hat, we're gaining so much functionality in these TVs that and connectedness that sometimes it can seem maybe a little overwhelming. Especially to non-digital natives, the older folks. Younger folks, I think, will gravitate to these features a lot more easily than older folks. But you have to make it simple. I mean, just you know how sometimes that meetings go, just trying to a corporate meeting, just trying to get the image up on the projector, up on the screen. I mean, just the conductivity of connecting things sounds simple, but often is more complex than we want.
What kind of activity is happening at CES right now? How are you sort of sizing up the marketplace?
Well, I've mostly been over here at the Samsung First Look event, digging into some of their technology here. So they've got some interesting stuff here in micro LEDs, in 8K TVs, and some of their other technologies related to that. QD OLED, for example.
Hmm. What kind of, I know that your company has been looking at 4K and 8K. What is the sense about 8K? Has 8K's time, which is like the latest ultra-high definition format, has 8K's time come, or is it soon to come?
Well, yeah, I think it's, and overall it's been delayed longer than I think a lot of folks thought or hoped it would be for it to become mainstream. But Samsung has clearly been a leader in this area, and they seem to be actually doubling down this year on 8K. They've got a new 98-inch 8K TV that they'll be launching, and they've really tried to beef up the 8K content ecosystems. So they've got they've curated like a menu item that says 8K YouTube TV, so it makes it easy for a person who owns an 8K TV to just click on the 8K YouTube channel, and you know all this stuff just starts to play for them. They've added another content provider called Savage Stock, which has 8K videos, and Savage Stock and I think three other content providers are providing 8K still images through a nifty NFT gateway. So the ambient mode of the TV, you know, when the TV is not being used for watching video, it can display these high resolution art or graphics or pictures in 8K. So, you know, all those things are kind of addressing the, well, there's no 8K content question mark.
Two very interesting, before we get to, I want to go get into Roku and the big announcement they made about the fact they're getting into the smart TV set making business, not just providing an operating system to other smart TV set makers or doing their own smart TV products, whether it's streaming sticks, dongles, and so on and so forth. And that is the whole situation with gaming on the television set. Many of the smart TV set makers who were making presentations yesterday did, to some degree, talk about gaming hubs. It really started last year. What's your sense about how gaming hubs are going, especially hubs where you don't need a console, all you need is your voice or your joystick aimed at the screen to maneuver the game?
Yeah, this is clearly an application area where a lot of the TV brands are focused. They want to add all these features because they recognize that gaming on a TV, especially a big screen TV that can do 120 or 144 hertz, is kind of where the market seems to be going, and it's a key reason why they would buy a big screen TV as well. So actually, one of the things that I did learn here in Samsung is that HDR gaming is particularly difficult to do right now. While many games claim that they can be played in high dynamic range in HDR, that setting it up on the TV is really difficult, especially PC-based gaming, because there are settings in Windows that you have to go through. There's settings on the TV, and then there's settings in the game and the GPU that you have to set up. And these all have to be set up in the right order to make it work correctly. And the bottom line is it's way too difficult for the ordinary gamer or consumer to do that, which is why Samsung's HDR 10 Plus has just introduced this gaming feature, which basically automates that process. So I thought that was a pretty important innovation. And and that feature is already in some NVIDIA GPUs and in MediaTek chipsets for TVs as well.
In a moment, we'll get Chris Chinnock's thoughts about Roku getting into the TV set business, and we'll also get into the role of artificial intelligence. As you heard our news, if you were at the top of the program, we told you about the TCL deal with Samba TV to create, through research and development, a multi-year partnership to develop advanced use of artificial intelligence, both audio and video, in their television sets. Chris Chinnock is joining us live from CES 2023 in Las Vegas. Tom Allen with you live from New Web, New York. And if you have a question or comment or maintenance with Chris from Inside Media, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. On Tuesday, Roku announced, hey, we are getting into the TV set business. We're going to come up with two lines of television sets. We're going to offer them this spring. What kind of feedback do you have on that announcement?
I didn't even see that announcement, I'm sorry to say. So I really
Has
can't comment on that.
Any buzz about Roku at all, especially given the fact that they now announced this morning their the results for last year, where apparently they have now 70 million accounts or 70 million people around the world who use their products, and that they watched 23.9 billion hours of content the last few months of 2022 and about 87 billion hours of content for all of last year.
Wow, those are pretty impressive numbers. I can see why they want to get into the TV business, because they own all those customers, don't they?
How do you think they'll fare, if you would make a guess? How do you think they would fare as smart TV makers?
You know, honestly, I would have a difficult time making a decision to get into the TV business. This is not an easy business. It's low margin. It's risky. It's hard to control your own destiny. There's lots of sourcing of key components. There's supply chain issues. It's cyclical. this is you know, the hardware part of this is pretty risky, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Now the fact that they have an installed base of customers and users and the software to support this on the streaming service. That's interesting, but, you know, you need to put together content and distribution, and, you know, it's a non-trivial undertaking they're considering here.
Yeah. LG announced yesterday near the top of their presentation that they are going to come out with a wireless TV set. Last week, we interviewed the executive of a company called Displace, which is also coming out this fall with a wireless TV set, one you don't need cables and so forth. Is that generating any activity at CES? Is that something you think is going to be a thing to watch?
Yeah, that is kind of interesting, actually. And I'm very curious to see, to learn more about the technology that they're using for that. So, you know, Wi-Fi 6 is out there. MediaTek's talking about Wi-Fi 7. And they say, LG says they can go up to 4K 120 hertz, so that's a pretty good bandwidth. But maintaining the robustness of that connection, that's a critical question. And I'm not even sure they're using Wi-Fi. It may be possible that they're using a 5G network. I don't know. I mean, LG is a big proponent of 5G and ATSC, so it's possible.
I want to go back, Chris, to ATSC in a moment, next-gen television. But first, one of the things that has really changed the ball game for smart TV sets and smart devices has been the set makers putting in artificial intelligence audio services like Siri, like Google Assistant, like Alexa and so on, where you can control the set with your voice. I think that's one of the reasons why these game hubs are happening. That's why we're seeing this move toward interactive television, such as interactive fitness and workouts, whether it's Apple Fitness Plus, whether it's Beachbody, whether it's Peloton, or a smart trainer that Samsung talked about yesterday. And now you have a TCL saying, we're going to be all in with AI. We think is a big thing that we should really explore the fullest, and whether it's audio or video. And they have this deal now with Samba TV. What do you think about the future of artificial intelligence and machine learning as a big innard in smart sets?
I think it's an inevitable component that they're going to exploit. So AI definitely offers some benefits in voice as well as video and other aspects. You know, if Netflix and Amazon use it to help curate content that you want to see. Your phone uses it when you voice navigate. So these are, you know, kind of natural progressions, I think, to move it to the TV as an interface. My concern is, you know, the fidelity of that interaction and the kind of false positives. You know, people just walking through a room and having a conversation and initiating something on the TV.
Going back to next-gen television, you mentioned ATSC a moment ago. One of the surprises so far is that there has been very little news, very little public attention especially at these presentations yesterday by the smart TV makers about next-gen television. And the only one that made a little bit of a passing reference to it was Hisense. And this is despite the fact that we now have 75 markets around the country, major markets, that have deployed the TV station area have deployed next-gen television technology. Where does it stand in the hierarchy? I mean, for a number of years, the Consumer Technology Association, the folks who run CES, were like, you know, on the high horse saying, this is a big thing, this is a big thing, and so forth. And it's like they're going to this and like, who cares? At a time when NAB is really stepping up to the plate, National Broadcast is stepping up to the plate in terms of keep your eye on this technology, keep your eye on these sets. They're going to the services are finally going to happen.
Well, here's my take. ATSC has always been focused on over-the-air broadcasting. While it's an IP-based solution and it can go through IP networks, their focus has very much been on over-the-air broadcast. And that just seems to be kind of a no-starter. You know, TV makers are just not so much interested in tuners because I don't think people really use those tuners very much anymore. Videos delivered over the internet. It's an IP delivery service over broadband. I don't think many people are interested in putting up an antenna anymore. That's the fundamental problem I perceive.
What would you like to see CES do to make it a better event now that it's back in person?
Well, what you're seeing, I think, here is the geographical spreading of the conference. A lot of these brands are not in the convention center. They're in the hotels running their own kind of mini suites or, in some case, large suites. And, you know, from learning about what all these technologies and companies are doing, you're just moving around from hotel to hotel and back and forth to the convention center. It's time-consuming and difficult when you've got all these people in Las Vegas. So bringing these exhibitors back under one or two roofs would help.
Well, for me, Chris, I mentioned this before you came on. I think it's time that these media days stop calling these press conferences press conferences. They are really press presentations. But what CES ought to do is this. When those, whether it's LG or Samsung or Hisense or TCL Panasonic, once those executives go off the stage, they do immediately a 30-minute press conference so that they are held to account, that we get the details about what they talked about. So things like the LG event where we don't know what the heck, they don't follow up on what they say, we can get follow-up. I also think that it's time that these organizations also come out with press releases. If they're going to come out with news that ADT, in the case of LG, is going to do a deal with them, they should have a press release ready about it. And the same thing with Samsung. If you're going to do a thing about smart things becoming a smart home hub in your TV set, you should come out with a specific press release on it. No more of this. You don't do anything, or you do like one big press release where you have to like look at like 10 pages to see what's going on. I think it's time that the CES people, the organizers, tell these executives, you better face the press. It's not just a presentation for 45 minutes and you walk off and that's it. You face the press afterward or the next day so that you you defend yourself. You're held accountable.
Well, the media does have the opportunity to follow up with them because they're exhibitors too. We've got a number of days we can start to question them on all those aspects of the press conference. You know, I think they view that press day and those press events as, you know, here's the high-level summary of the stuff we're doing. We'll meet you one-on-one or in groups in our exhibit booth over the next few days to give you more details as they're available. But as I said at the top, I suspect that many times those details aren't even decided or available.
Well, we'll see. Well, we'll see. And I hope they bring CES Unveiled back to New York. I think it was a big mistake last year by Gary Shapiro and his gang not to do it. And instead of going, they were going to do it, and they backed out, and they decided to do a live stream event where they just asked, you could ask questions if you could. They didn't really get to them, and I thought that was a big mistake. on their part. I hope they bring C.S. Unveiled back. And Gary Shapiro, by the way, is one of the best, I think, trade executives around. He runs a great organization, and it's time to bring C.S. Unveiled back to New York, where it belongs, because that was a big event when they had it. While we have you, one more question, Chris. What TV developments do you see happening? If it's not on the radar screen now, what do you see happening as we go into as we go further into 2023? What can we expect?
That's a good question. I think, well, one of the things that's kind of on my radar that's a little bit below the visibility for most folks here are kind of next generation display technologies. Things that are marketed as holographic or light field displays today, they're not always holographic or light field, but they're kind of marketed that way. But this is kind of the next phase of 3D displays. And as you probably know, there's 3D displays have come and gone several times already. But as these display technologies advance, they just get better and better. So there's a few companies I want to be checking out while I'm here at CES that are making advancements in that area.
And if you want to check out Chris's work, here's where you go online, insightmedia.info. That's insightmedia.info. It is well worth reading. Chris, it's great to have you on the program today. Have a wonderful rest of your time at CES. Thanks for coming out. First time I've had you in a long while, and I hope we do this again before this year, 2023, wraps up. It's been a pleasure.
Sounds great. Thanks, Simon. Bye now.
You guys, take care. Have a great time rest of the way at CES in Vegas. That's where Chris Chinnock is from Insight Media from Vegas. Don't forget, coming up Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, Jeb Stuart, the executive producer and showrunner of Vikings Valhalla on Netflix, premieres its second season later this month, and Nick Rhodes, the founder and chief executive officer of Obsession Media. And next Friday, Jeff Minsky, my fellow colleague at Media Village, he is the chief technology columnist there. He's at CES 2023, and we'll get his thoughts about where things are going. The views expressed here are those of the participants. They are not necessarily those of Block Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Toe is B-Charge General Manager. Jay Sonnenberg is head of content. Website service provided by On Podium, the internet's new podcast outpost. Guitarist Vegas is our web coordinator. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful rest of your week. We are back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and all of our podcast affiliates. And our website, tomorrowwillbetelevised.onpodium.com. Whatever you're up to now and then, please make it safe and great. Have a fantastic weekend. And until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.